Welcome to the Real Reel podcast with Natalie Barbu. Instagram might be your highlight reel, but we're here to talk about the real reel. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Real Reel podcast with me, Natalie Barbu. In today's episode, I am interviewing my boyfriend Keon and his friend Jack, and it is a very funny episode. I asked you guys on the Facebook group and on my Instagram what relationship advice you guys wanted to hear from us, and we actually recorded this when we were all in New York together, so this was recorded like 2 months ago, I want to say, but it's really funny, and they actually want to start their own podcast, but then everything happened with coronavirus, so that was put on hold. Stay tuned for when I announce that they actually started a podcast themselves. In the beginning, they might have been a little bit awkward and podcast shy, microphone shy, but they definitely got into it, and it's just a fun episode. You guys can kind of see our dynamic. I had a lot of fun recording it. Before we get into the episode, though, I did want to thank you guys for reviewing my podcast. I said this in the last one, but we are over 600 ratings. That's insane. Thank you guys so much for reviewing my podcast. It means so much to me. And if you guys find any value in this during quarantine, if you learn something, if it's just a source of entertainment, please, please, please rate it 5 stars on iTunes, because that's basically the only way that I get discovered on, like, based on the Apple Podcast algorithm. I wanted to thank and shout out the reviewer of the week, and they said, "Amidst these unprecedented times, I find comfort in focusing my energy on something productive. Recently, I've been listening to Natalie Barbu's The Real Reel podcast to keep myself entertained while doing chores." And then they kind of, this is a very long podcast review. It's like a few paragraphs long, so I'm just going to skip around. "In my opinion, her content is unique, as her interviews don't just cover the surface level of what a particular career path is like. Instead, Barbu delves into the deeper logistics of working those jobs. Barbu's podcast offers specific and practical tips based on her real-life experiences without being corny or preachy. Her podcast stays true to its name by showing you the real reel of work life. I'd highly recommend listening to it if you're stuck in a rut or need some extra inspiration to start thinking about working towards your career. Now is the perfect time to reflect on your professional goals, and these episodes are a great place to start." Wow, thank you so much. I also didn't read like 3 of the paragraphs that were on this. This was a full-on review, but that means so much to me. Like, the fact that this person took the time to go to Apple Podcasts, leave this, write this down. This probably took a long time to write. I mean, it's pretty long and lengthy. Just to give a review on Apple Podcasts means so much to me. So if you guys do like this podcast, guys can definitely leave a review there. But anyways, I'm excited for this episode. This one definitely isn't about work life, which is ironic because this this review was all about like how great it is for work life, but this one is a little bit more entertaining. But I think that you guys will love it. And again, this is just our relationship advice. I need to do a disclaimer. Don't listen to us necessarily. Like, we're not experts, we're not professionals. A lot of you guys may disagree with what we have to say, and that's totally fine. But just wanted to say that this is just a fun episode to film with my boyfriend and his roommate. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy.
I like this. Hello, ladies.
It's on air.
Deep in your voice, like,
hello.
All right. Okay, guys. Let me get the questions.
I do like a loud sip every time.
Ew, please don't. Okay. All right, I'm just going to go through. Oh, I never did setting the record straight. I'm just going to come with a few questions. Okay. All right, so I do the intro separately, so we'll just get started. Talk close to the mic.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Hi, Keon. Hi, Jack. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having us.
They're really nervous, so we got to get them warmed up. Anyways, we're just going to start with setting the record straight, but before that, I kind of want to introduce you guys. So, Keon, do you want to start?
Hey, everyone. I'm Keon. I'm Natalie's boyfriend, and she's the only girlfriend I've ever had, so that's my experience.
Is that my an credentials. Introduction about yeah. you?
Well, for the relationship podcast. Okay.
All right, Jack, I was going to say, like, you can say, like, where you went to school, your job.
Well, all right, mechanical engineering.
Yeah, really set the bar high for me.
All right.
I'm Jack. I'm Keon's roommate, one of his best friends. We went to high school together, and I went to Gettysburg College, and I work for a sustainability company.
Nice. That was more of an introduction, Keon. All right.
What was your GPA, Jack?
Off the top of my head, 3.7. Yeah. No, 3.3.
Okay. Anyways, we are going to get We are going to get started with setting the record straight. So this is where I say some assumptions or stereotypes, and then both of you are going to tell me if they're true or false. So I got to think of some off the top of my head. Okay. So the first one is that it's really easy to tell when a girl likes you.
I think it depends on the situation. Like, girls can give you a lot of attention if they're being nice. If it's like a networking event or something like that, like, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, you want to restart?
No, Jack can answer. I'll edit that
out. I would say the two main things I look for, or like good signs to tell if a girl's like possibly interested, would be eye contact and laughter.
Yeah.
Eye contact, you can usually tell, like, you're like glancing at each other and you lock
cross
eyes
the bar
a few times. Yeah, exactly.
Is it like a second rule, like 3 seconds?
Well, you don't want to stare at people, especially if you're a guy. You don't want to be like staring at girls. That's weird. But usually, you know, glancing in the direction every once in a while, you know, trying to see.
What if you're like talking to a girl and they're like texting you? Can you tell if they like you or if it's just like friend zone vibes?
Depends how fast they like answer, how engaged they are. If you like sometimes... back in my single days, you could like send a text that's like, okay, they could totally not answer this and that would be fine. But if they kind of address like the end of your conversation and then take it a different direction, then it's like, okay, they want to keep talking to me.
So you look at all of those signs.
I'm not analyzing like, oh, this is a 66% chance that she likes me. But
yeah,
I don't know. You can kind of tell. So it's a bunch of little things that add up together.
And then the next one is girls should not text first.
I mean, I always like when a girl texts me every once in a while. I know it's usually on the guy's plate to start a conversation for the most part, but, you know, it's never a bad thing. If someone's interested in you and see what the problem is and sending a text to someone, especially if I want to talk to them or try to figure out plans, sometimes I'm busy or don't feel like being on my phone, but
if I
get a text from a girl.
Yeah, it's nice to be wanted, and I know that guys make the first move a lot of the time, but after that, it's like if they take the initiative... could lead to something good, like, hey, I wasn't going to text her today, but she texted me, so let's hang out.
Yeah. Guys should always pay on the first date.
I mean, I always pay for the first date. That's kind of just, like, how I go about things. After that, I think it's kind of up for debate, and it's kind of a feel-it-out type of situation. But if you're trying to impress a girl, or if you like a girl and you're out on a date, I think you should definitely pay for it.
Yeah.
At least the first one.
Yeah, I know I paid for our first couple of dates, but I liked, I think one time, like, we were at a bar, and you went and grabbed me a beer and, like, brought it over. And it's not, like, paying for the date, but it still was nice to be like, oh, like...
I'll get you. Yeah, I feel like we're pretty fair.
Yeah, it's not really about, like, the money evening out. It's just, like, again, it's the thought. Like, if you, like, take the check out of my hands after we got drinks on the third date, you're like, I'm paying for this. That's awesome.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, so we're just going to jump into the advice now. So I had a lot of you guys ask me on Facebook and on Instagram for some advice questions, and I got a lot of them. So Keon, like we said, is in a relationship, and then Jack is single, so we're going to have two different perspectives, which is nice. So this one is, hey, Natalie, I'm currently talking to a guy who has made it clear that he's emotionally unavailable. He's told me on multiple occasions that he really likes me. However, I can tell he hasn't fully healed from his last relationship. We have a super strong connection, and I really see myself with him. What are thoughts on waiting for a guy who isn't emotionally ready for a relationship? Am I holding on to false hope? I think you are. I think it's holding on to false hope. Do you not agree?
No, I completely agree.
If they're not emotionally ready,
I don't know if I like fully believe that. I feel like if it's the right person, like you will be.
Yeah.
He's just not over his ex, and you're not good enough or not.
Well, don't say not good enough. You're not. That's mean.
You're all good enough.
Okay, yeah, let me rephrase that. You're...
Not the one for him.
Not the one for
him. Yeah, he doesn't... Yeah, I think it's very...
You failed.
What do you think, Jack?
I mean, it's tough, obviously, because we don't know all the circumstances behind that specific request. But
guys,
and from my perspective, if I like a girl, you know...
Yeah, you know. It's like...
You know, and you make the effort.
Yeah, I just feel like if it's someone that's emotionally... unavailable, and I feel like that's an excuse. Like,
it's the same thing as I'm not looking for a girlfriend right now,
and then 2 weeks later they find someone else and they start dating them.
You're not ever really looking. There's not going to be a perfect time. It's just you meet the right person.
Yeah, no, I agree. And especially when
this is a bad month for me, actually.
It's a bad one for you?
Bad month.
Oh, next bad month. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, like, I feel like all the time guys use that, especially when it's like, he's told me he likes me on multiple occasions, but he's just not ready for me.
But there actually are bad months. Like, I know that was a joke, but like right before Valentine's Day gets tricky when you're like first start talking. Like, there are months that are better than other ones. Or like, their birthday's coming up, or
Christmas.
Like,
what about Christmas?
The holiday season, like, that gets complicated a little bit.
Just feel like at the end of the day, if you like someone, you like someone.
No, definitely. I mean, a girl I dated last year, it ended up being her birthday, and it was Valentine's Day on her birthday, and we had been dating for like 2 weeks.
Did you do anything?
I got her flowers.
Okay, see, that's nice. Simple. Like, I don't think
any girl...
But it
was a tricky situation to be in.
Were you guys like, no, that is tricky.
Because it was like her third date?
Yeah. Date. Was she like, is this too much? Or did she like it?
Well, she was like, don't worry about it. It's not like a Valentine's date like that.
I think he handled it well. Like, he did something, but didn't blow it up.
Yeah, it's not like you got her like an expensive piece of jewelry or something. Yeah. Okay. The next one is, how do you stay independent in a relationship and not let your happiness be because of your boyfriend or girlfriend? So this is for you, Keon. I can answer this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what works for us is that we have independent facets of both our lives. Like, you have your own friends, you have your own work, you have your own career. We're not really in the same friend group, even though we're friends with each other's friends, but honestly, we just remain independent from each other, even though obviously I love hanging out with you and dating you.
I feel like it's just like, I have my own thing going on, like YouTube, my job, my friends. I still have friends from college here. We obviously live separate. And I bring you into that, but it's still, like, my own thing.
But that's also long distance. Like, you couldn't be completely dependent on me because I see you 3 days every 2 weeks.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like having your own passions and goals in life apart from your significant other is really important, no matter who you are. Like, you should have your own friends still. You should still have separate. You don't have to hang out all the time. Like, I have a friend who literally will not do anything unless their girlfriend is there, and it's just like, but I'm not friends with their girlfriend, you know? So it's just one of those things where it's like, you should be able to hang out separately and be totally fine and like have separate interests. Jack, as a third party, do you think we're independent people?
Definitely. No, I think what you guys said is really important too, because you got to be able to do your own thing. If you're in a relationship, just be like part of a couple and do everything together. That's
it's also annoying to everyone else.
That too.
It's very annoying to everyone else. And then if you break up, you lose all your friends because you only hang out with your boyfriend. So just keep that in mind. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
Watch out.
All right. I wanted to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, Pure Wine. So just imagine this: no more wine headaches or congestion, skin flush, or hangovers. I don't know about you, but whenever I drink a little bit too much wine, I tend to get a bit of a headache the next day, but now you don't need to suffer any longer. Pure Wine filters quickly removes the histamines and sulfites, which are the culprits causing those uncomfortable wine side effects, and what you always get is nothing but pure wine. Pure Wine offers two unique products. One is called the Wand, which filters wine by the glass, and the Wave, which filters and aerates a full bottle. Pure Wine filters work on all varieties of wine without affecting the natural taste, aroma, or color. So whether you experience headaches, congestion, skin flush, upset stomach, or hangovers, Pure Wine is the solution for you. Stock up on Pure Wine like you do those wine bottles and use the promo code CORK20 to get 20% off your next purchase at drinkpurewine.com. Next one, is it okay to have guy friends and text, and or for the boyfriend to have girlfriends and text? What's the boundaries there for a healthy relationship and to be social at the same time? I think it's fine to have guy friends and girlfriends. I think there needs to be boundaries with that, but I think that like it's unhealthy if you don't have any guy friends or if they don't have any girlfriends. I feel like you should have a mix of both, but like, yeah, maybe don't like your girlfriends, don't like hang out with them all the time one-on-one, like go on dates with them or whatever. I don't know. I feel like that's normal.
Yeah, but it's also about trust.
It obviously depends. I'm saying like if you had a girlfriend and you like hung out with them all the time, texted them all the time, called them all the time, you know, it was like a second girlfriend, then even if those like emotions weren't there, I still feel like that's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Do you think so? Like if I had a guy friend that I was talking to at all times, what do you think?
I think it's just important to, you know, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Because if you're friends with the person, you're talking to them all the time, you're obviously not going to see anything wrong with that. But, you know, if it was the other person and they were talking, if it was your boyfriend and they were talking to a girl a lot and you thought it was inappropriate, then you might have to, like, think about how he feels about yours. Because, well, you can trust each other. Like, everyone gets jealous. It's just kind of natural. And so if someone's too close.
Yeah, it's important to communicate. I remember a while back, I had a coworker that was, I was driving to my apartment because we were all meeting up for happy hour after, and I let you know because I wasn't sure if, like, you would care or not, and I just kind of communicated it so you knew what was happening and there was no surprises. I think a lot of the time problems arise when it's a surprise.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, why didn't you tell me that you guys were hanging out? Because then it's shady, because it's, then it's like, why are you not?
Are you hiding something?
Yeah, are you hiding something? But I feel like a lot of people hide things because they think the other person's going to get mad. But then that also builds, like, well, why did you think I was going to get mad? Like, is the trip? Yeah. So just be honest and put yourself in someone else's shoes. I'm 18 and have only had a small thing with this guy when I was 14 or 15. I have been single for the subsequent few years. All my best friends have found someone somewhere along the line, and I feel very alone. Everyone says it's better to wait and guard my heart as opposed to giving myself to the wrong person. But that doesn't eliminate feelings of insecurity and doubt. What am I doing wrong that no one appreciates or likes me? I just wanted to take a quick break to thank TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds for sponsoring today's episode. Are you having trouble sleeping, focusing, or relaxing? If the answer is yes, then TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds podcast has got you covered. This hour-long podcast is made to help you get rid of distractions, reduce stress, relax, and get better sleep. You can listen to the sounds of nature, white noise, relaxing music, and so much more. You can check out the TM Soft's White Noise Sleep Sounds podcast on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts. First, you're only 18. 18 is so young. Like, what? That's probably high school, going into college. Like, I think I had my first guy that I started talking to when I was like 17 or 18. So I feel like that's not, but I remember in high school, I thought I was like weird for never having talked to a guy when I was like, in growing up in high school, because all my friends had boyfriends and I was like, no guy likes me. But really, it's just we're really young, I think, at that point.
And it depends. I know that personally, Natalie was my first girlfriend at 21, I think. Like, that's a I was 21 when I had my first girlfriend. I went through all through college, and even though I was talking to people on and off, I never found someone that I wanted to really spend a lot of time with, so I didn't settle for it. It'll happen. Like,
it's not good to settle either. Like, that's like, you're just going to get more heartbroken if you're settling and realize you wasted so much time, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true. But it also sounds like in this case, she's 18, which, like you said, she's young. And to only have one relationship at 14, like, that's not really a relationship.
Count.
So I wouldn't say you're like settling for stuff. Off if you get into anything right now.
No. I'm like, saying, like, if you just get into something just because you, like, want a boyfriend, but not because you really, like that person a lot.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand why you do that.
At any age.
Yeah.
Even if you're, like, 35, like, you should not be doing that, I feel like.
But especially that young, you start to learn what you like and dislike in people.
Yeah.
And, like, what you're looking for. So if you were to get in the wrong relationship that young, I don't know, you could use it as a learning experience.
Yeah.
But...
and you can go on, like, dating apps if you're safe, and go on dating apps and, like, see what you like and what you don't like in people, too. Like, Jack, are you on dating apps right now?
Yes.
And
what are the handles, just real quick? Can we?
Have you?
You're clearly not on dating apps.
No, yeah, there's no handle on dating apps.
Can we shout out his Instagram, though?
No.
Well, anyways, wait, what do you, out of the dates that you've been on dating apps, how many dates have you been on?
I mean, it's tough to say. I'd say in, like, the last year, probably, like, 5.
And were some of them horrible, or, like, were they all, like, good, fine? What's, like, your worst one?
See, like, people talk about having horrible experiences. I haven't had a horrible experience from a dating app, usually because if we talk enough and we decide to meet up, like, there's something there.
Yeah.
I've had a few, like... this
not
was,
seeing you again?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was once, you know, we talked. There wasn't any real connection, or conversation was just fine, but we didn't have, like, the same interests. And it was once, and talked for a little after that and decided not to do it anymore.
Have you ever, what have you ever like ghosted someone or like someone thought that they were like, oh, let's do this again, and then you're just like, no.
I don't like to ghost people, but I'm also a terrible texter. So.
Okay, so sometimes you accidentally ghost someone.
Yes, but no, I think it's best to just like kind of be upfront. I've done that after a few of these dates that haven't gone.
You'll tell great. Someone like, hey, this isn't going anywhere?
Yeah.
Really?
Or just like, hey,
in person, at the end of the day or later in text?
Oh, text.
Usually a text.
Yeah, I would feel so uncomfortable if someone at the date was like, yeah, this just wasn't it. I'd be like, okay, could you not wait until you got home? Like, geez.
Yeah, I thought about doing it once just to see how it would go, but it felt too awkward at the moment.
Yeah,
so I
that's
decided
awkward. I think it's better to like sit on it so that it's not like exactly. The whole time you were thinking about how horrible this date was, and the second it's over, you're like, hey, no. Because I feel like that's like even more mean. I don't know. I've never really been on like dates at all. I've never been on dating apps. I've had a profile before, but I never did anything on it. Keon's had a profile before, and his picture was not even in it. That's like my favorite story to share. I saw his Hinge. It was Hinge. And I was scrolling on his Hinge profile. This is before we were dating, obviously. And one of the pictures was a group photo of like a bunch of guys. And this is like the first time I'm really like hanging out with you. And I'm like, oh my God, do I not remember what this guy looks like? Because he is not in this picture. I was like, thought I was going crazy that I just like forgot what you had looked like. But no, you just cropped yourself out of the photo and you never realized it. And that was on his Hinge profile.
It shows how much I used it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that story.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny. All right. And then the next one.
Wait, can I tell your Hinge story?
Okay, what's my Hinge story?
I don't know why Natalie and I were, like, how this came up, but basically she had a Hinge in New York, and...
Not while I lived here.
Okay.
This is when I was visiting. This was a while ago.
Like, we were not arguing, but I think, like, not play fighting, but, like, somewhere in between where it was, like...
Yeah.
Natalie made it a point to basically tell me she was hot stuff, that she had hundreds of potential matches on Hinge, having, like... I don't know, posted it for a day.
Just had it. I forgot what it was. I think you were, like, bragging to me about something. And then I was like, well, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I have this many matches on Hinge.
And it was, like, in the hundreds, so I was humbled a little bit.
Oh, my God. I just remember being like, I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to tell him. And then you annoyed me, and I was like, all right, it's time to tell him. Oh, my God. But it was a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was joking. So next question, or I guess just like asking, what are some bad relationship warning signs? So what are red flags? What are your red flags? Like things you see and you're like, nope.
Wait, to clarify, so that he wouldn't date her?
Yes.
Or red flags that he's seen in relationships?
No. Red flags that you would not date someone if they behaved like this, if they were like this.
I think one of the main ones would be, this is just me, but I'm close with all my friends. And, you know, if you can't be cool with my friend group or, mm-hmm. you know, the amount of time I might spend with them and how I divvy up my time, like that would be definitely a red flag if you need too much attention.
Yeah.
You're obviously going to want attention, but it's not going to be.
Well, you can blend in. It's not black or white, like me or them.
Yeah.
It can be
both.
Like, look at us, just
three peas.
Yeah, three peas in a pod.
Well, in a literal pod.
Wait, I liked that. Also, what if you really liked a girl and then your friends were like, no, we don't like her at all. Like, we hate her. But you really liked her.
I mean.
And it's not like she did anything. Like, she didn't, like, cheat on you or nothing like that. It's just, like, they don't
like her.
So
why don't we like her?
I don't know. Maybe she's annoying or, like.
Well, I've had this happen within our friend group before where some of us have been like, oh, we don't like this girl. Not you, Nat. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. Who is this? No.
Not you. But like I was saying, you know, I have a great group of friends and we trust each other. And well, in the moment, you might not listen to them. It's always kind of worked out where the group of friends was right about what they saw. Or, you know, they're not making it up out of nowhere. And they're usually talking at a point of concern.
No, I feel like if your friends don't like them, or if everyone in your life doesn't like them, and it's like valid reasons, it's probably they probably should, like, they're probably seeing something and you're just like blinded by love. One of my, I guess not red, I mean, it is a red flag, but I feel like this can come across as kind of mean, is being like super, super insecure. Like, I like someone that's confident, and that is, because red flags, it's just like, if you're really, really insecure and you're always negative and you're always putting people down, I feel like then you can't really be happy for other people as much, or you're also just, I don't know, I feel like real insecurity can cause a lot of issues in relationships. And not to say, like, everyone is insecure to an extent. Like, I have my own insecurities. Everyone has their own insecurities. But being just an overall insecure person when you are, like, absolutely have no idea who you are or, like, if you're good enough for anything, like, that to me causes a lot of issues, I feel like. Confidence.
That's a tough red flag, though. Because you can hide your insecurities at first, I think. I know that some people, it might be more obvious, but that one comes out in time.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm meeting someone for the first time, the flags that I'm looking for is if we can just candidly talk, if we can kind of hang out and it's fluid, doesn't feel forced, if we can talk about serious stuff and then talk about nothing and kind of hit the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
I know that what you mentioned with the whole insecurity is, I don't know if I can tell that in the first date.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel mean saying that, because it's not, but I feel like that's also a sign that you're not ready to be in a relationship if you're really insecure. Like, maybe you should work on yourself a little more, I feel like.
But if we're doing like deeper red flags, I like, to me, it's important that you do things for your partner that you don't always enjoy. Because it's, I mean, here Jack and I are doing a podcast and this is really fun and I'm totally enjoying it, but we're also here for you.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to go do something and you're not thrilled about it, but just being there and doing it with me.
Yeah. But this podcast was your idea. No, I know what you're saying. But also, your love language is acts of service. I always tell Keon to take the love language quiz. Do you know your love language, Jack?
I do not.
What do you like when someone does for you? Like, what makes you feel good when someone, like, is it, so the five love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, gift giving, what's physical touch, and
quality time.
So which one makes you like feel the best? For me, it's like words of affirmation. Like, I need to hear
every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. Come on. Write me a love letter. No. You know what, like, for me, that's like my thing. And Keon's definitely acts of service, like doing stuff. And physical touch. You like massages. I'm just saying.
I mean, I know where Keon's coming from with the acts of service thing, just because we're generally on the same page of, I try to be helpful and I'm usually down to help people out.
Yeah.
And it's just nice when people return the favor. So
yeah,
whatever it might be, it doesn't have to be like a huge thing, but it just shows that you're,
yeah,
you're actively thinking about the other person and you're willing to help them. But I haven't taken the quiz, and quality time sounds like a good one too.
Yeah, you gotta take the, I'll send you the quiz.
All right.
I'm curious. Also, though, bad relationship warning signs: if you're in a relationship and they're super possessive or jealous, or you guys fight all the time, or any form of like cheating,
get out. Controlling.
Yeah, like, get out of that relationship ASAP. No second, third chances. Like, I feel like so many people give second chances because they're like, they're sorry, they won't do it again. And then a few months down the road, they do it again. And then they're right back in that same cycle of being attached to them and not wanting to let them go. And I hear this all the time from girls, especially. I mean, it happens to guys too, but from girls especially, when they're like, oh my God, he was crying. Like, he cried when I like found out that he was cheating on me or something. Like, he was so sorry, because guys don't cry that often. It's just like, that's, I don't know. I hear that all the time. Like, I've never seen anyone more sad or sorry in my life. He's going to do that again in 6 months or in a year.
I think that goes back to like having to be content being alone. Like, if you can't be alone, you're going to go back to the person.
Yeah.
If you're not secure enough to say, hey, that person's not right for me.
Yeah.
It's run its course. It's over. I'm going to end it, spend some me time, and then figure out where I want to go and what I want to do. But you need to be able to be alone.
Yeah. It's just easier to go back with the person, because then nothing changes. You can, like, forget about it, move on, and then nothing changes. It's, like, harder to actually break up with someone and like, stop talking to them and stop seeing them. So cheating, get out right away. Like that's, I feel like there should be no exceptions for that. And then, okay, the stages of a relationship, how to go from texting to dating to officially exclusive. How's that? Keon, you have a little chart, I believe I heard.
So when I worked in Oklahoma, a lot of my coworkers were from India and they had all been in arranged marriages and I became very close with them over time. So I eventually it was a chill Friday and not a lot was going on. And my project manager was asking me about kind of the stages of dating. And I grabbed an Expo marker, went to the closest whiteboard and I went from top to bottom.
So what are they?
So you start with stranger.
And, like, describe,
if you're starting like ground floor, like yeah. You don't know the person. One sec, let me pull it up.
No, he actually has this.
I believe it.
This is at work too, at your consulting job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really accurate.
So, all right, Jack, you
terrible
can.
Terrible handwriting.
Oh, I have such chicken scratch. But Jack, feel free to chime in whenever
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I want to hear like your thoughts on each of these processes. Well, or
I'm
each
still
of
working
these steps.
On my own process. So.
Well, each of these I'll steps. Each of these steps.
All right, so the ground floor with strangers. I think that, and a lot of these steps are optional. I know like Natalie, we weren't friends first. We kind of jumped into it. But level one is friends. I think that a lot of relationships start as friends and then you feel something.
We were friends. Like, okay. Yeah. We were never like friends, but we got to know each other like friends do.
I mean, I could tell right away we would be friends minimum.
Yeah.
Stage number two for me is physical attraction. I think that you have to be attracted to the person.
Love is blind. How do you explain that show?
Some of the couples after they saw each other didn't work out.
Yeah.
Calling out Jessica. So if you're not attracted, I mean, I think it speaks for itself. If you're not attracted to the person, it's not gonna work. You can be attracted to many different facets of the person, their personality, the way they treat you, make you feel, but a big one is how they look. And then when you're kind of with that person, the next step is, okay, are we exclusive? Are we talking to different people or are we only talking to each other?
Yeah. How did we decide if we were exclusive?
Oh, I didn't have a choice.
Are we exclusive talk?
I think once you guys started boarding planes to go see each other.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good indicator.
After you're exclusive, and again, like this is a hot topic, I think. Can you be exclusive but not dating?
I mean, at the end, I just don't really get that. I don't know. Have you ever been exclusive with someone but like you weren't boyfriend and girlfriend with them?
Or like I view it kind of as like a hand in hand.
It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. What's the difference?
I guess maybe if you
it's a label.
I know.
View it as like a transition
but
into
like when
full-time
people,
dating.
I don't understand when people don't want the label. They're like, we're exclusive, but like I just don't like the label. Why? It's the same thing.
Well, I think it's more so that I'm not positive that I want to date you, but I know I don't want you talking to other people.
I guess. It's like a test run.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know.
Free trial.
But I would also guess that like that usually stems from one side, like one person more than the other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%.
Like you're not just like calling yourself exclusive for a long period of time because you both decide to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to take a quick break to tell you guys about our sponsor. You guys all know what Spotify is, but on Spotify, you can listen to all of your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. So you do not need to have a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one that you're listening to right now. On Spotify, you can follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are. And you can also easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. So if you're listening to this ad right now, you should take a pause and share your podcast, or share my podcast, I should say, on your Instagram story and let other people know where to find it. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app, search for The Real Real Podcast on Spotify, or browse podcasts in your library tab. Also, make sure to follow me so you never miss an episode of The Real Real Podcast. All right, what's next?
So I have a serious dating in here.
Oh, dating and serious. And then serious dating.
I think like dating's okay, like a month in or whatever, still feeling it out, but serious dating is okay, like it's been over a year or however amount of time. Like the time, it depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. But talking to them multiple times a day, is it, for me, it's like how I think, how I feel.
Yeah.
I think I'm like, I'm doing something and it's, oh, I really wish Natalie was here, or something that she likes and I see and I think of her.
Yeah.
That builds up. At first, I didn't do that as often, but the longer you date, I think the more you care about the person. So that's why there's a S in there for serious dating.
Yeah, I like the distinguishing dating and then serious. And then what? Engagement
and then marriage.
We're still not dating. We're just living together.
What do you think about the phrase, if he likes you, you'll know? If he doesn't, you'll be confused. Do you agree with this? Can a guy be confused about his feelings that he gets me confused? I think this is just BS. I don't know. I feel like if a guy likes you, you're going to know. Like, it's going to be obvious. It's not like, oh, he hasn't texted me in 2 days, but like, then he Snapchatted me and then he did that. Like, then it's just like the guy's not really interested. He's just kind of like having you along, just, you know, just in case. I feel like if it's obvious when a guy likes someone.
I would say there's different levels of interest. Like the top one being, you'll know if he likes you a lot because he'll put in the effort, and
yeah,
it won't be, oh, he hasn't texted me in a week, you know, what's his deal? And then he reaches out and like, oh, he must like me again.
Yeah.
You would probably fall further down the list, but there's also been times where, you know, I haven't known how I felt about a girl or like head over heels liked her, but then you give it a week.
And then do you ever like her though? If you never...
No, sometimes it'll flip it.
Oh,
and
really?
You think like it'll be over and you'll be like, oh, I'm an idiot. I just wasted this opportunity. It's, well, I mean, you could say that for a lot of things. If you have the option to have something and then it's taken away, then you want it more generally. So that's happened to me before too, where I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? Like, I obviously should have acted on that sooner.
I feel like you should. I don't know. I just feel like it's obvious. Like if, okay, let's say you go on a date with someone and then they text you like, oh, had a great time, whatever. Afterwards, maybe you text for a day and then they don't text you for a week. They don't like you.
Or they're seeing other people.
Or they're seeing other people, but that means that they don't really like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, I feel like there's not that much room for confusion. Like, I just watched He's Just Not That Into You. Great movie.
Great movie.
Great movie. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
You have? It just got put on Netflix recently, so I was rewatching it. But I first watched it when I was younger, and now I just watched it again, and it's just, like, so spot on how all the girls are always around their friends, and they're like, oh, my God, he just lost your number. He's just busy. He's just intimidated by you. They like make up all these excuses. And it's like, no, he just doesn't like you. Like, just move on. Like, he's just not that into you. So,
but to be fair, like post college, like I'm busier now than ever. It's harder to see people. I know that you can make time for someone that you really like, but I know, like, for example, this upcoming weekend is St. Patrick's Day. If I was kind of talking to a girl that I wasn't sure I liked yet, I probably am not going to invite her.
Yeah,
over.
But you weren't sure you liked her. That's like, you know, like, you,
yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's early on, like, I might like her.
And there are also some events or scenarios where, like, for St. Patrick's Day, I'm not going to be
texting,
you know, girls on Hinge.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be hanging out with friends and,
yeah, but I feel like extended periods of time.
But it can take a while. I know that I liked you right off the bat, but it built up, like, it's a bunch of small hangouts and before I'm ready to, at least for me, mentally commit and be like, okay, I like this person.
Yeah.
Let's see where it goes. And if one side comes off too strong too early, it can scare the other side away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I just think it'll be more obvious. Like, he won't be like playing games type of thing.
Oh, well, if he like really likes you, then yeah, there shouldn't be any of that. If there's some games and some like breaks in between, then there's probably something else going on.
Yeah.
But the question was, like, basically asking, is it right to feel confused, or can I be confused if someone's not that into me? And let's, yes, if they're playing games and they're good at it, when you hang out, it's probably great. But it's hard to hang out with them, or that you only hang out with them when they want to see you, not when you want to see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say if it's like an 8 out of 10 or more, like, you won't get confused at
it. Yeah, I agree. And then, okay, so many questions were about long-distance relationships and how we deal with being in a long-distance relationship. So if you guys don't know, Keon and I started dating when we were both, I was in Charlotte and he was in Oklahoma City. So very long distance. Very long distance. That's a 3-hour plane ride and an hour time change. So I know some people are dating longer, whatever. To me, that's long distance. And now I'm in New York City and he's in Boston. So it's like a 4-hour train ride, which is so much better and cheaper. So what do you think, like, why do you think, how do you do a long distance relationship? Like, why do you think we've done it and like it's worked?
Well, a lot of the stuff about healthy relationships going into it, we like trust each other. We make time for each other. When I'm driving to work and from work, I try to call Natalie if she's not busy.
Yeah.
We FaceTime every night. We visit each other every 2 to 3 weeks. If I have something big in Boston, so Natalie's honestly probably the key to long distance. She has the best schedule out there. No 9 to 5, even though she works 8 to 8, basically. She can make it work. If I'm like, okay, I can't come to New York next weekend, she'll book a train and come to me.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time, we try to alternate and visit each other as much as we can and keep it fair.
Yeah, and like if I go to Boston, I'll be there for a longer amount of time because I can. Like I can do my work wherever. Yeah, I just feel like long distance, also it's easier for us because we started long distance. So that's all we really know. Like I think it's harder when you go from being together all the time and then all of a sudden like not seeing each other. But it just takes adjustment and it's not as bad as everyone thinks. And everyone always, I think the number one question I always get is like, when are you guys going to be in the same city? Or like, are you guys planning on being in the same city? And it's just like, yeah, obviously, like, eventually, hopefully we will be. But that's not really, I don't know, like that also goes back to being independent.
Well, right now, Boston's right for me and New York's right for you. And
like, I love New York so much. Like, I'm not going to move to Boston right now. You have a job in Boston. You're not going to move to New York. So I don't know. I feel like.
But I'm not opposed to it down the road if I can find something that makes me, you know, equally happy or even less, but more happy because I'm with you.
Aww.
Look at that eye roll.
I'm just saying. There's.
That's nice.
There's room to, like, compromise.
Yeah. And I have a flexible schedule. So technically, it's very easy for me to move wherever. Like, if I. I could move to Boston right now.
What are you
now.
Implying?
I'm just saying I could move.
Like, I'm like really busy right now.
I don't have.
Gonna mix signals.
I don't have a job that is tying me down to New York, but I do have a lot of opportunity here and I just really love it here. So yeah, that was just a lot of questions. We're about long distance. And I think key is trust and communication at all times. Not at all times, but you know what I'm saying.
And FaceTiming helps.
FaceTiming, yeah. If it was just phone call, that would be so much harder. So we FaceTimed a lot in the beginning. But anyways, those were all of the questions that I had. Did you guys like being on your first podcast? Jack, do you still want to start a podcast about sports?
I would love to.
You should start one. This is fun, right?
If I can come down and record at the Spotify studios every other week.
I know this isn't your topic of choice, but it's fun to record podcasts. It's just like talking to friends.
I was saying he has a good podcast voice.
Yeah, you have a good podcast voice.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Do you want to leave anything like your Instagram or?
No.
No?
I'm good.
Don't find me.
Do you guys want my Hinge handle? Or?
All right, I knew there wasn't actually a handle, but I was making a joke. Like.
All right, well, Keon, do you want to leave anything? You have so many like follow requests already that you have not attended.
No, I'm good keeping it private. And if you see me in her videos awkwardly like saying hi or what's up.
All right, anyways, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast, and yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed the episode. I'd love to know what you guys think. And again, if you guys like this episode, please be sure to give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Join the Facebook page. You guys can talk about it. And follow us on Instagram because we've been doing a lot of fun Instagram takeovers, which just have been a ton of fun on there. But anyways, I hope that you guys enjoyed. And I'll see you guys next Monday with another episode of The Real Real Podcast.